of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to continue. It's a series of messages. And we spent several weeks on a specific message talking about the excellence in covenant. I really felt last week like, speed it up, wrap that up. You know, we've been speaking on it for, I think it's about 4 weeks that we talked about that area. And I did feel like we needed to take our time going through that. But last week I really felt there's a couple other areas the Holy Spirit wanted me to get to regarding covenant relationships. And so we did wrap that up. I prayed a little bit. Lord, is there anything more you need me to go into on that? And I really felt Him directed to move into this area this morning. So we're going to continue talking about covenant relationships. And again, people have a much easier time walking in covenant with their Heavenly Father because they can't see Him, and He's perfect. And they think they're not held accountable when they mess up. And I say that way because they think they don't, because God's not a God who's come down striking you dead. And so there's a lot of people think they get by with a lot of things that they're not getting by with. Amen. Don't everybody get serious with me here, okay? All right? I just everybody put a smile on your face. If I'm stepping on your toes, just smile and act like I'm not, okay? And but whatever you do, don't get angry with me, okay? But again, there's a lot we think that we're getting away with it. If you mess around with people next to you, a lot of them will call you on your stuff, and you don't. It's not as easy. And then if you do it, you have to look at them in the face again. So if they're not calling you out, you're calling you out because you can, I see the way they're looking at me. Or you know what you did. So it's easier when we're just like, I'm in a covenant with God. And there's a lot of Christians that's the only level they focus on. Now, beloved, we talked just a few minutes ago about obedience in our offering teaching. That's dealing with our covenant with God, about honoring Him with our lives and doing what He needs us to do. That's our part of the partnership. That's our part of the covenant. So all the time when we're talking about our relationship with God, when we're talking with faith, about faith, we're talking about our covenant with God. So people are like, well, Pastor, that you spend a lot more time talking about your covenant with one another and the interpersonal covenants that we have with each other than you do with the covenants of God. No, I don't. When did I tell you was the last time I preached on the relational covenants? Was over a year ago. And since that time, we've talked about faith, we talked about evangelism, we talked about all those kind of things that has to do with our relationship with God. So my point is that we got to take the time, and I should have put we've got to take the time to understand our relationship with one another, why God has given us one another, and how we need to operate with one another. Because when we miss that, beloved, we miss the Father. When we miss that, we miss our relationship with the Father. And I mean, make no bones about it. If you don't have a relationship and you don't have a good covenant relationship, and I'll use these terms again, horizontally, you do not have the foundation, you do not have the relationship vertically that you think you have. And most Christians miss that. Because they think somehow they can get by with messing here horizontally or not having anything this way horizontally. And they can't figure out why this is. And here's what they'll do. They'll be like, Pastor Elise is holding me back. They'll start blaming everybody horizontally instead of blaming the one in the middle of the horizontal thing, right? The thing that it hinges on, which is you. You're right. You're right. Your prosperity hinges on you. Because it's what you do that determines your prosperity. So if you, you follow me on that. So if you're off balance and you're not, you know, you're not getting along with this person, that person, you don't like what your pastor's preaching, you don't like the music he pulled, you don't like the craziness of the guitar player or the dance moves of the leader or whatever. You don't like all that kind of stuff, and you like to, you know, harp on that a little bit. You like grumble, complain, and then you're not getting what God. You can start blaming it. Well, I don't get into worship because of them. Well, I don't get into worship because that person doesn't sing right over there. No, you don't get in worship because there's something blocking the flow, and it's you. It's your view on it. It's your messing around horizontally that is messing up vertically, and we've got to realize that. And so that's why we take this time. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's get kick off. This is our kickoff verse. Gets the game underway. For we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. I love how he throws this in there, in times past. We're no longer, we're the circumcised. But it's not about the hands. It's not about the circumcision made by hands. I just love that. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood. I always like to insert this little word here. I know it's not in there, but it fits. The blood covenants of Christ. Because it's talking about covenants. So the blood that Jesus shed brought us into a covenant. So we are now brought nigh into all his promises, brought nigh into the commonwealth, brought nigh into all that he has because of the blood covenant of Christ. Now again, covenant is an intimate, intricate, and abiding relation between two or more people. It unites their strengths in order to eliminate their weaknesses. Some people get into this big thing that we are in a covenant with God that, here's what, they'll say there's different types of covenants. And I think there's different types of partnerships, which I would imagine. But they say there's the type of partnership where one person has everything and the other person has nothing. And they come into unity, and that one person that has everything makes that other person that has nothing everything. And that person here is just forever grateful. Now, I do think there could be partnerships that you get into on that area. And I'm not going to, I've not studied it to the depth on covenant relationships that I would agree with that yet at all. But every covenant I've understood is basically that, is that there's strengths and weaknesses on both sides. And your covenant brings you together and eliminates the weaknesses and builds up the strength on both sides. That's very, in other words, it eliminates us, but it's that intimate. Now, here's where people mess up. Because they're like, God has everything. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he has everything, and we're nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. We're just man. We have no power. We have no authority. We have nothing that God needs. God has everything. And again, that's their problem there, is because God is missing one and very, and this is what we're talking about today. God is missing one very important thing that he had, exactly, that he had at one point back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he no longer has. And that's a body. That's a body. Oh, goodness gracious. This is getting good all of a sudden. Go to Colossians. I mean, you know, I told Jessica last night, I said, I got to do some study when I get home. And she said, studying? Why are you studying? Don't you get up early in the morning and do that? I said, yeah, but I know where I'm going, but I just don't know how I'm getting there. I don't know. And I sat down for a few minutes, and then I sat down this morning for a few minutes too, but sat down for a few minutes, and I showed her, I said, see, that's where I'm going. And God just took me there. He jumped just... Because we cannot have a covenant with God. God cannot do anything that He wants to on this earth without a body. And if He doesn't have a body, He doesn't have a right or an authority to work here on this earth. So, are you in Colossians yet? Let's see what it says here. Chapter 1. Verse 18. And He is the head of the... You guys can help me out. I pause for dramatic effect. Okay, of the body, the church. Let's hit those key words again. He is the
head
of the
body.
The
church.
All right. So He's a head without a body. That's what it says. That's what Scripture says. He is a head without a body. And so we are not in that kind of relationship where He has everything. Now, don't get me wrong. He's the head. He's got it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver, all the gold is His. He's got all wisdom, all authority. He's got all that. He just doesn't have a body. I mean, that'd be like a man having a $1 million idea for a store and all the spots in the mall are taken. He doesn't need somebody else with $1 million. He needs someone that has that spot. He's got the $1 million. He's got the $1 million idea. All he needs is a spot. And if he doesn't have a spot, then what's he going to do? I know some people are like, well, you can go elsewhere. What are you going to go to? God's going to go to Mercury? Venus? Saturn? Pluto? Pluto's just been demoted, you know. Poor Pluto. He's not going there. He's stuck here. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He's the one I'm making a covenant with. Why? Because he's my body. He's my body. And I need my body so that I can have all these blessings flow into this earth. And how are all the blessings flowing to this earth? Through the body. Through the church. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from all dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. He is it, but He needs us. If we're truly in covenant with the head, then the body is just as important. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Isn't that really cool, though? This kind of relationship, God needs us. It's so many people are like, I'm just not that important. I'm worthless. I'm not, you know, I'm just me. I'm just this. And God's looking at you going, no. You got the shop. You got the place that I want to set up camp in. I've got $1 million ideas that I want to flow through you, and I can't get to earth because you're busy saying how unimportant you are. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. All right. He cannot do what He wants on this earth. People say, why does some of the suffering go on this earth? Why do things happen on this earth? quite honestly. It's because he's trying to get his body to cooperate, and his body won't cooperate. His body is too. His body is too side. Distracted with trying to make everybody feel welcome, with trying to explain away what the Bible really said, and not they're too distracted doing all that kind of stuff instead of just doing what God tells us to do and operating as His body. Listen, man, I'm no doctor. I'm not on TV, so I don't even play one on TV. But I know this much, that if the head tells the body what to do and the body doesn't respond, there's a problem. There's a situation that you need to get figured out. I saw a frisbee coming at me, then it hit me. That was the punchline. I'm going to catch that frisbee. I didn't catch that frisbee because the signal I didn't respond to the signals. The head has to be let me put it this way: the body has to be in cooperation with the head. The head has all the knowledge. The head has the ideas. Your hand never got an idea. I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. That the idea that you might think, it was reflexes. Came from your brain, came from your head. We got to get this, because if they are not working in cooperation with one another, not a lot's going to get done, and it's going to be a pretty sloppy job if it does get done. You know, not working. This is what most churches are. They may sing a song. They may even give them the offering. They may go to church, but it's no different than an arm being thrown into the middle of the the sanctuary. There you go. Got an arm just sitting out there. We are members. Each of us are members and part of His body. See, that's why I'm telling you, beloved, it is a messed up concept, and it is something that we've allowed religion to try to usurp. You cannot be a part of the body of Christ if you are not involved in a body. People are like, I am the church. I am the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ as much as you are joined to a body. If you are not joined to a body, then you do not operate. Do not function. You cannot function as the body of Christ. God puts local bodies together, and in those are where most covenants take place, inside that local body. Now, there's an extended one, and there are people all over this town that we have a love for, and that we have what I would call really an extended covenant as brothers and sisters. We don't go to them when we're hurting, per se, unless maybe there's that relationship. Some people have that kind of relationship with other people outside this body, but we don't go to them when we're hurting. We don't go to them when we're doing that because they are not like this. I'm going to simply say it like this. I don't necessarily like the way we're in a loose relationship with them. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a love for them. We have an affinity with them. We don't bad talk them. Love doesn't back talk anyway, so we shouldn't back talk anybody. But we are in relationship with them deeper than the heathen. And then there's the heathen, and the heathen are all potential covenant partners. But you cannot be a member of the head. You cannot be in covenant with the head without being a part of a body. And I'm telling you that, exclamation point, dot, dot, dot. That means a lot of exclamation points. And that's where most people miss it. People think they can do it on themselves. They think, I'm the church, I don't have to go to a church. No, you're not. You cannot be a church by yourself. A church, in its definition, is a gathering place.
But they didn't even have churches back then.
Yes, they did. They called them houses. Now, if anybody here wants to open up their house to where all of us can come, we did it for a season, but I'm glad we're out of that season. We have a central point that we can all come to, and we can feed here in this place. And all we need to do is grow a little bit bigger, and there ain't not a house in this place right now, that can house us all. It's tight right now. Can you tell that Scott gets a spot in me? Because I get so upset with people who, and they're Christian people too. Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. I am the church. There were no churches in the Bible. You need to have someone teach you. You need to go show up to a church and have someone teach you the truth. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're all members of this body. You know the effectiveness of your hand? Is that it's connected to the body. That it goes where the body goes. 1 Corinthians 12. All right. I was going to try to pick and choose on this one, but you can't because it all flows together. So we'll just read. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of of that body, being many, are one body, same way it is with Christ. I like that. All right, so it's telling us that this... I started looking up scriptures, and this is the third place that we've seen it, and there's a couple that I'm not even bringing up. Romans talks about it, but God's sticking with this picture. Why? Because there's no better picture than to keep this one going. And if we want to understand how we're going to operate the best, we've got to understand the body. And that's the reason I started in Colossians, because when we understand He's the head, that means that we, cut off your head and see how much housework you get done. I'm thinking too much. I'm going to cut off my head and see. No, your housekeeping days are done. Because amen. Yeah, you're no longer, you lost the head. And that God wants us to understand that our ability to operate as individuals, this is really cool. Our ability to operate as an individual has everything, not just that you're connected with the head, but that you're connected with the rest of the body. Consistently, he says this. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink in one Spirit. So it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, we're one body. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's still the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No, it's still part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Everybody, there's certain jobs in the church that everybody likes. But if we're all doing the same thing, then there's certain things not getting done. If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God hath set the members. I love this. You need to pin this to your chest. Well, maybe not. Okay, but at least to your wall. God has set. I want. Let's see. I'll just say. Now, hath God set? I want you. We're going to reverse that. Say, God has set. Okay. I want everybody to say, God has set with me together. One, two, three. God has set. Say it again. God has set. Now, it's real important that we understand that, because God is responsible for His body. And where He has set you is where you need to be. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases Him. Say that, as it pleases Him. As it pleases Him. Pastor Elisa, I'll pick on you. Does it say there, as it pleases Elisa? Jessica, my wife. Does it say, as it pleases Jessica, Pastor Thad's wife? No, it doesn't. It says, as it pleases Him. Amen. Amen. I'm pausing here because we need. I'm not saying we don't have this, but this we're talking about covenant and where we're going here. What things the Holy Spirit's going to show us here. This has got to just be really deep in us. I think to understand why God tells you to do some of the things He does, you got to have this understanding. Amen. As it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where the body? Where were the body? I don't know. And now are they many members, yet one body? We're not just one member, because then where would the body be? But we're all many members, yet one body. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, no much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now again, things that you may not think are as important are really, really important. Kind of figure that at some point they're going to figure out, oh, the appendix does that. No, even if the appendix was just put in there for a filler. You know, they have different things in the body that they remove. And when they remove that thing, it kind of leaves a little spot in there. Am I correct on this, Jessica? Other organ, they kind of start filling in there. And every now and then, it causes trouble in there when it closes in and fills in that area. Because something might get stuck in there. Am I correct in this, Jessica? Something might get stuck on there. Something that was supposed to not be, it gets stuck in there. Because there was supposed to be something there. So when they take out the appendix, it might seem me just a talk. But maybe it's just a filler. Maybe it's a little putty. That was filling up a crack. I don't know. Wisdom from Pastor Thad right there, right? Hallelujah. All those members, verse 22, all those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members in the body, in other words, don't think for a second that you don't have a spot. You may be like, oh, I don't preach like Pastor Thad or Pastor Elisa. I don't sing like Pastor Thad or Jessica or Steve. I don't play the instruments like those guys do. I'm not a really great teacher for the kids, or I don't do that. All I can do is, hey, you just found out. The foot, man, I tell you, when I read, my feet don't do anything. Have you ever been reading, though? Or trying to read? Trying to study? Trying to do something? And you got a cramp in your foot? And your foot's kind of not playing along very well? Or maybe you got a sore knee? All of a sudden, they're pretty important. Because it's stopping you from reading. It's stopping you from doing stuff. It's stopping you from resting. It's stopping you from relaxing. Because all you want to try to figure out is how can I get this to stop cramping? How can I stop hurting? They're necessary. And those members of the body, see, we're getting... where am I at? And verse 23. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable... Upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to them which lack. Verse 25. And there, and these are really important areas. There should be no schism in the body. They shouldn't fight against one another. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And again, that's If you've got pain, like in your knee, it'll start messing with your calf. It'll start messing with your thigh. It'll start messing with your back. You have something out in your ankle. It seemed to me like Allison went in having some pain in her back once for Doc, and Doc started playing with her ankles and feet. And I was like, and he's like, you know, it was like, you know. You have something out down here, and it can mess something up here. What's up with that? Don't let any schisms be in the body. They need to take care of one another. In other words, you want the back to get okay? There might be an adjustment you need to make in your foot, in your ankle. We're getting into this a little bit more here in a second, but people go, church is messed up. Church isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. Well, maybe it's your position that's a problem that needs an adjustment.
Amen.
Instead of pointing at everybody else, maybe you need to go, okay, I need an adjustment. instead of just sitting there assuming it's everybody else's fault. Pastor is important. The pastor is important. But again, I shared with you, I don't know if it was Wednesday or last Sunday, that a pastor can come in loaded for bear, but if the people aren't ready to hear it, if they're having brain cramps out there, then it doesn't matter how fired up the pastor is. It don't matter that he touches heaven. he preaches down heaven, and people are like, oh, it was okay. I think he tried too hard. We care for one another. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. We are the body. Okay, we are the body, and each of us are specific parts of that body. Members in particular. Amen? Now, in this passage, I noticed a couple things, and again, we probably stopped and talked about it, so I won't have to spend a whole lot of time going. But there's about three things that really jumped out at me. And the first thing is that we need one another. Amen. We need one another. We need each other doing what they're supposed to be doing to the best of their ability. We need one another. Beloved, you need me. And if I ever come into this church and I'm like, well, I'm just Pastor Thad, I ain't nothing special. I'm extraordinarily special because each and every one of you need me. If I'm not doing my job, you will suffer for it. Now, I'm stopping there and pausing there because I want you guys to get just a little bit like, is he stopping there? No, because I need you. Everyone in this church needs Doc. Everyone in this church needs Beulah. Everyone in this church needs Megan. Everyone in this church needs one another. We need each other. And if you are not doing your part, the church will suffer. If you are not doing what you've been called to do, what you've been placed in the body to do, if my hand just refuses to do what it's supposed to do, if I stood up here preaching to you and meanwhile my hand's doing all this kind of stuff over here, and I don't know, just ignore the hand. How many are going to ignore the hand? No, because it's out here doing something it's not supposed to be doing. It's drawing away from what I'm trying to get done. You know, look over here, I'll punch you there, right? But that's where most churches are at. You got way too excited about the wrong thing. That's where most churches are missing it at. It's because they've got all these individual parts that are doing whatever they want to do. They're not functioning in terms of the church. They're functioning in terms of what they want. And then the church is, now listen, The church is either not functioning correctly, or it's functioning, but 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. And the ones that are actually causing it to function are getting worn out. And honestly, that I mean, I'll say this, I'm just say this just free of charge, is that when the smaller a church can be, it takes place in every church. But when your 10% is 100 people versus your 10% being 3 or 4 people, it can really start wearing out people in it. And so what are we doing? What am I saying? Am I saying this? But no, I'm just simply saying if we all are doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're all operating that way, then we need one another. And again, it's not we need one another just kind of in this weird mentality of we all need you. No, we need one another functioning. Now, let me hit a couple of parts here. Ephesians 4:16. Now we're still on just the three things I learned in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. I enjoy teaching this stuff, and when the Lord just gives me again, I don't ever like doing like what I did last Sunday night, where I just taught something that legitimately, I mean, even though I taught it differently than I've taught before, I don't necessarily like doing that. And often when it comes down to covenant relationships teaching, you almost feel like you are, because what more can you, and then the Holy Spirit does something like this where he just gives us a fresh look at this, and I'm like, this is nice. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Now again, we understand the context is that he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for equipping of the saints, all that kind of stuff. But then in verse 16 it says, from whom, and this is just from, as it goes down, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So we see here, and we'll point these out, but and I think there's another point that I'm bringing up in a second, that but it says that we've got to be fitly joined. Everybody's got to be in their spot doing what they're supposed to be doing. If we're not, listen, beloved, that's why I'm saying there is nobody in this body that is called just to sit. You've got to find what you're supposed to be doing and do it. That's where your joy comes in the body. And so fitly joined together, compacted by what every joint, everything supplies. And then that last part where it says the effectual working in measure of every part. So and again, I'm going to talk about this later, but I'm just making note of it now so we can refer back to it. You got to do what you got to do. You got to be doing what you got to be doing. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man, it just the scriptures just say this time and time again, that we're a body and we got to be working as one. And now again, let's think about this, and we'll bring this up in a second. And when it says we're supposed to be of one mind, whose mind? The head. The mind does not take place. The pastor might be the neck. I don't know. I don't know where the pastor is at. Maybe the pastor, I don't know. But what? But he's the head. It's his mind. We've got to be filtering. That's why we got to obey him. We got to think like him. We got to do what he does. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, and that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now notice here, in the perfectly joined together, that's the first thing I want to see, that you be perfectly joined together, fitly joined together. Beloved, that is our, we need one another. We need one another. A lot of ministries, now I believe God gives us grace. When you're a younger church, when you're not as populous as other churches, I believe God gives certain people grace to operate a certain way, to be kind of the elbow and the hand. You know what I'm saying? And thank God for that. But you cannot be an effectual hand You cannot be effectual hand without an elbow. You cannot be effectual elbow without a shoulder. And the joints that work in there. You cannot. And so God says that we are fitly joined together and there be no divisions among you. All right, so the first thing, first thing that I noticed in that is that we need one another. We need the differences in one another. A lot of us are very similar in certain mentalities and certain, like, that we don't necessarily are starve for the limelight and all that kind of stuff per se. A lot of us have that got kind of going for us. But yet again, we're different. Most of us are different as night and day. And God likes that. God likes that. So we need one another. Number two that I noticed there, though, is that every part of the body has to be in its place. And again, not every now and then, but consistently. Now again, the scripture I'm going to bring up in this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which is not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I want just to think in this terms because, again, he's talking about what? The body. He's talking about the body of Christ here. So, let's replace that word some with some body parts, okay? All right. Okay, let's go. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself as the manner of your heart is. What would happen if your heart did not assemble for one day? You seen what my thought pattern is? Forsaking not the assembling of yourself together as the matter of your liver is. As the matter of your respiratory tract is. Your lungs. Your lungs don't show up for a day. Just one day. Hey, you know what, man? I've been showing up every day of your life. I'm working when you're sleeping, and I don't know why they're Italian all of a sudden, but you know, I don't like it that I have to work all the time, and you're the other laying around and sleeping and all that stuff. And I'm out here working. I'm going to take a day off. That'd be his last day working forever. They don't have that ability to say that, to do that. Now again, sometimes you just got to look at things in a little different thing. But see, that's where a lot of people are like, is that they can do without me today. They can do without it today. They can do without me this. See, that's, I love the fact that God doesn't say you need to meet. The early church met daily at different houses. But God doesn't ever, nowhere says that we need to meet daily. Why? Because he knows there's life. He knows there's a lot of stuff going on. But he does say as often as you meet, you need to be there. And again, pass that on a tangent again. No, don't let that be there. Don't let that stop. I'm just simply saying that we're body parts. And when the body meets together, when the body is to be together, we need to be there. Things happen. I get it. I understand things happen. But we need one another. Now, let me throw another level out there. There may be some of you out there who consider yourself encouragers. Do you think that stops just because the body is not meeting here? How many have ever gotten a text message or seen something on Facebook from Pastor Thad just encouraging you? Yeah. You know why? It's because my job doesn't stop on Sundays or Wednesdays. I pray for you guys, and every now and then I'll get this thing and I just send a text message out and just post something online. Just do something. Why? Because that's my gifting. That's my body part. Sometimes we don't think about one another, except for on Sundays and Wednesdays, and that is not right. This is our body, and we need to. If God puts. Last Thursday, Sister Elisa Bistrick texted me one of the first things in the morning. Said, "Man, I got you covered, man. I'm praying for pray for you today. And I just, it's like, all right, she's doing her body part, even though it wasn't church day. That's the way it should be. That's what we got to do. What's your body part? What is your area? What's the area that God has for you? It needs to be a consistent thing. When we come to church, you're here. Why? Because the body needs you. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm enjoying myself. Hope you're enjoying yourself. All right. So, and again, that doesn't mean you just show up. That means you show up to function. Is that all right? All right. So again, we're on the three things that we learned from this. The first, we need one another. Second, each body part has to be in its place. And this one I saw in here where no schisms in the body. In other words, every body part. I'm going to say it like this: every body part needs to be strong and stay strong. Pastor Thad will preach sermons about intimacy with God. Pastor Thad will preach sermons on discipleship and the importance of pressing in and just and focusing in on Him. And people will start thinking things like, Pastor Thad is on a warpath. Pastor Thad, you know, how dare him? You know, doesn't he know we have lives to live? Doesn't he know that we have all this kind of stuff? But what we don't understand is that as each part, you need to function at your fullest, and you cannot function at your fullest unless you are in deep connection with the head. Has anybody ever? I'm trying to think of what I would do, where I'd be gripping something for a long period of time, maybe a shovel or something like that, and then the next day you wake up and your hands are going, okay, I can't open them. Just to get them open, it like takes every bit of your strength just to get them open because they got tired, they got worked over on the day. And there maybe takes you a day, maybe takes you half a day to finally get them to where they're moving freely and all that kind of stuff. Because when they're not strong, when they're not operating the way they're supposed to be doing it. And that's where I just saw this area where, you know, schisms in the body. Different scriptures say effectual working of every part. That means they're strong, they're doing what they're supposed to be. No divisions among you. All these things keep showing up in the body. Why? Because if a body part's not working correctly, it's causing pain for the rest of the body. Has anybody ever broken their dominant hand to where you had to write with your left hand? You have? It's fun, isn't it? Because, yeah, nice. But yeah, if you're gonna do it, but see, this hand was strong, this hand was not, and so when this hand gets weak, now you're forced to do parts of your body are forced to do things that it wasn't intended to do. I have written down here that we can compensate for each other for a while, but we will not be functioning at our highest. There are different people, maybe, okay, Jessica, you'll have to help me on this one, my nursing. If let's say you have your gallbladder taken out, the gallbladder does what? It what? Helps digest your food. So when your gallbladder comes out, what happens to your food? I mean, if you don't have that helping to digest it? I mean, I'm not asking for a full, just other parts have to do it. Does it get done equally as good, or does it not for a while? Yeah. Can it cause problems in other parts? Okay. I have information. She has information. So that's what happens when somebody's not strong or when someone's not doing their area. Other people, other parts of the body may have to step in to do it, but it means their area is not getting done quite the same. Your area is not gotten done quite the same, and it can it'll start causing some problems. It can start causing some problems. But the best bet is for you to function the way you're supposed to function strong. And again, and we'll look at this again. It's by building yourself from your spirit, being in contact with the head, and for them to do their area strong, and then both areas are just sailing. You follow me on this? And again, I know some of you are going, well, we know this, Pastor Ted, but this is covenant stuff. This is what we're talking about. We're one. We're one. We are attached together. With our hearts were knit together, David and Jonathan. The problem became is when Jonathan ran away, when Jonathan went back home and divided himself, because he was supposed to be, they were body parts. They were sewn together. Amen? All right. So those are the things right there. It's just simply, and that we need each other. Every part needs to be, it has to be in their place, and then each part has to function strong. Hallelujah. I can wrap this up with, well, go to Ephesians 4. Good. I purposely knew that I'm me, and so I preach long. No, I don't preach long. I don't need a ton of scriptures to necessarily because of the gift of the teacher. I'm going to teach on it. God's going to give me more insight. But I do have a couple things, two more things I really want to focus on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, this is one of the Holy Spirit drew me to on our week of prayer. That was one of the sermons. And here it is, finally. It's just a small part of this sermon, but it got me going and everything. But notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, again, this is talking about the body of Christ. This is talking about us. And it gives us three, I think, very important pieces of information in operating in covenant relationships with one another, with parts of the body. First of all is that first word, endeavoring. Endeavoring means to work, to do stuff, to operate, to work hard, diligence, endeavor. In other words, it means, beloved, if covenant relationships was easy, everyone would be doing it. But it takes some endeavoring. It takes some work to do it. That means that there's days that... Is there anybody in here who's ever gone to work on a day that you didn't feel like going to work on a day? What, last week, right? Once or twice last week. Yeah. But it's work. It's what you do. You're investing. You're doing something that A, you know needs to be done. B, you know you're enabled to do. C, it helps you to pay some bills through all the process of it. So you know you got to go, even though you don't feel you're going to work. And see, we treat one another and we treat church and we treat the other body of believers as if it's maybe not. But we got to look at it. He says endeavoring, working at this thing. When it gets hard, you know you're doing something wrong. You're doing something right. When it gets to be where the enemy's trying to attack you, he's trying to remove you from your blessing, from your place. It's an endeavor. The second thing, keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, again, the point I want to... Unity is that tells us that we're talking about being one, but it's of the Spirit, which tells me that your flesh will always fight unity and peace. Your flesh always will. Because your flesh would rather stay at home and be chill and do that. So that's why you have to endeavor. It's because you're fighting against your flesh. Your spirit is fighting against your flesh. Amen? So because people are like, well, what about me? Who's taking care of me? Listen, man, if you help enough other people get what they want, you can have anything in life that you want to have if you just help enough other people get what they want. So it's a fight, but it's a fight in the spirit. You need to stay in the spirit to operate in it. And the third thing is that there's a bond that holds us together, and that is peace, our irene, our shalom. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule. In other words, what's most important is the peace between brothers. Is that tranquility, that love, that just genuine, that I'm not getting mad, because mad would not be letting peace rule. Do your part to make sure nothing's missing. This is what I was going to do. Your part to make sure nothing's missing and nothing's broken in the body. That's the bond. That's the bond. Now I want to finish this thing. Again, that was my message, and that ended up being what? Not even 5 minutes of my message here. But I want to close it with this. Go to Ruth chapter 1. Again, this was part of what God gave me on that morning. But again, Ruth, Elisha, and Jonathan are I just call them our big three, because you can learn more about covenant relationships from those three than you can just reading 100 other things. But in Ruth chapter 1, I'm just going to read this part, because this kind of sets where she gives her oath, her sworn oath to Naomi. Verse 14, Ruth 1:14 says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And again, that word cleave is a very, very strong gripping, but it really tells the story that she was not leaving. I mean, it really presents itself with a covenant action. Verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return after her. And Ruth said, don't ask me to do it. Don't ask me to leave you. Or to return and return from following after you. For whether you go, I'll go. Where you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, that's where I'm going to die. And there I'll be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So that the reason I read that is just because that's a covenant oath. She is saying, I swear by your gods that I will not leave you. And if I ever decide to leave you, then let death hit me when I decide to leave you. So what's covenant? Covenant is an intimate, intricate, binding relationship. And now it seems like it's going, again, it seems like Naomi's getting the good end of this. Like Ruth is getting nothing. But that's not the case at all. Now let's go here with, I want to teach big. I need to stay on what I want you to see here. I want you to see Naomi as the picture of God. All right? He is our connection to all those blessings. All right? I want you to see Ruth as a picture of us. That without God, that when we were aliens, we were without God, having no hope in this world, but God brought us in. And I want you to see Boaz as the prize. Okay? I just received this from the Holy Spirit. Ruth's main job. Now think about what verse 2 is all about. Verse 2 is not about, I kind of glanced through there, and I don't recall ever that verse 2 was about Ruth cleaning, there's any cleaning her house, or anything on that sort. Everything was about feeding her. She would get up early, she would go out there, she would glean in the field, she'd pick up stuff, a little extra was dropped her way, and she would... See, in other words, there's a season in covenant relationships where you don't look like you're getting a whole lot. You recognize that God's blessing is on you, but you're not getting as much as you think you're getting. And in the meantime, God's watching your faithfulness to His body. But notice,
Everything in chapter 2 was about her taking care of Naomi's body, feeding her. Amen. Corinthians tells us, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. She was discerning the body. She was focused on making sure that her needs were met and that she was full. But Ruth, working hard, she was gleaning in the field, getting a little bit here and there, not getting a ton. I mean, she got more than the rest of the people. But because she stayed faithful in that covenant, in a short time after, she owned, she got the prize and got the field. And she owned every grain in the field because of the prize she got. But she stayed faithful to Naomi, to her body, and to taking care of all her needs. So the scripture came up as I'm closing. Colossians 3, verse 2. So set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. And we should have a totally different concept of that at this point. That setting our affections on the things above is not just setting an affection on saying, Lord, it's just you and I. But that it's a setting our affections on one another. Not just the head, but the body. Amen? And beloved, I don't know. I know some of you all. I know some of your gifts. I know some of the areas that you're strong in. I also believe that there's some of you out there that probably are not functioning in that spot. I don't mean you're spastic, like a spastic hand. I'm just simply saying maybe you don't understand exactly where you fit. God's not trying to hold it from you. God says if any man lack wisdom, just ask, and he'll let us know. And he's not going to go, stupid, it's about time. He's going to go, man, it's about time. You've been missing out on my best. And you may be sitting there thinking, yeah, but if I were to do that now, I would just be overwhelmed and I don't know all. No, see, that's God gives us grace where we need it. And on top of that, you've been functioning. You've been functioning in less than what's God's best for your life. Just imagine now if you're actually doing what God planned for you to do and you're in your position, now you'll be functioning in God's best for your life. And again, I'm not saying it's not an endeavor. I'm going to talk a little bit about more tonight, and not really on this sermon, but I understand that tonight we're celebrating Pastor Appreciation, and it's always a humbling thing for me. But Jessica Beecraft always she takes it, runs with it, and which she should be done. I'm not saying that I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that. No, it should. I'm not. But she always is saying, I want you to do worship. I want you to do preach too. But when I was praying about it, I felt like the Holy Spirit talking to me about a few things on what to teach, and it won't be as long because we're going to sit around with fellowship and talk for a while tonight. But I'm going to share something with you. It's just really simple, but really really cool, and it's going to go along that area of when you say yes to God, to that place that you're supposed to be at. There may be an endeavor to it. But you're going to enjoy every second of that endeavor. Every second of that endeavor is going to be a pleasure and a privilege. And so we'll get into that more tonight. But that's where, hallelujah, as I was studying on some stuff, I was like, oh, that's awesome. We'll get into that tonight. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I enjoy this teaching. I could teach on probably the same notes week in and week out just because it's so much fun. Because again, I don't think a lot of Christians really recognize how full their life will become once they say yes to these areas when they, once they say yes to it, when they their spot. And again, the enemy wants to try to sit there and tell you you're not good enough. I tried to figure out, I knew I was called to preach, and I couldn't preach. I was boring. I was monotone. How am I going to ever preach? Well, what do you know? God equipped me. God empowered me. Amen. This morning I woke up and had a little bit of tenderness in my throat. I don't know if you could tell that while I was singing or not, but I haven't had a bit of it while I've been talking. Clear, concise. You know why? Because I'm in my spot. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And God's backing it up and making it easy. Amen. And He'll do the same for each of us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. I thank you for my covenant people, my covenant partners. I couldn't do this without them. And again, I know that they're not the last ones coming in. I know that this isn't the end of it. The end. This is just. I mean, this is the beginning. Hallelujah. We've only just begun. And what we've got coming ahead of us is so exciting. But Father, I thank you that I'm not walking ahead and I'm not moving forward in this thing by myself, but I have my covenant partners. I've got my prayer partners. I've got my ministry partners. I've got my music partners. I've got all these partners, Father, that are fulfilling me in every way. And it just means that we're going to get the job done. And so, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you will, that you just continue to increase in each and every one of us the realization, the understanding, the picture, Father, that we are your body and are successful. Us being successful has everything in the world to do with us being connected to one another, consistently in our place, and being stronger in you. Because when we do that, then the prize is going to be sweet. Oh, it's going to be sweet, and it's going to be more than we could ever hope or dream of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, that's good. I love, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm just thinking of Ruth. Nowhere in that does it say, and I know I'll find a husband. She turns down the possibility of finding a husband because of taking care of the head and the body. And God said, yeah, you will spend your lifetime in prosperity and in pleasures.